How many of you think it's a great idea to pray for our physical needs? All right. I agree. And you know, we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. And the phrase, that part of the Lord's Prayer that represents our physical needs, give us this day our daily bread. Right? Now, we've already covered that, and we've already talked about that a bit. But when we pray for our physical needs, we pray for things like physical provision. We pray for things like physical health and physical healing. We pray for physical strength and physical protection. We pray for relationships. We pray for job openings. We pray for success at various endeavors that we may have in this world. And I know that these physical prayers that we pray also have carryover into the spiritual world. You know, I don't want to draw a line quite as distinct as it may sound between physical needs and what we're going to talk about today, spiritual needs. But it's important. It's a good thing. If you're asleep, wake up to hear this. It's a good thing to pray for spiritual needs and for physical needs. You agree with that? Let me ask you a question. You still awake, alert, and enthusiastic? You're a little bit on the sleepy side today, but how much of your prayer life, that is, involves asking for things that primarily involve our physical needs? Let me ask you that again. I'll say this probably 10 times through the message because I don't want you to misunderstand me. There is nothing wrong with praying for our physical needs. But how much of your prayer life is asking for physical needs? That's a good thing. But today we're going to talk about spiritual needs and praying for our spiritual needs that we have. You know, I did a little bit of research on our church as far as in our prayer meeting on Wednesdays and our Sunday school, my Sunday school class in particular, and on Sunday mornings when we take prayer concerns. And I did this over the last 9 different services. So there was 3 Sunday schools, 3 morning worships, and 3 Wednesday nights. And I looked at the various requests that were made. And I want to say again, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. I want everyone to pray for your physical needs. It's a good thing to do. But as I looked at those and I counted them up, and I know there's carryovers and there's crossovers, and someone was like, is that a physical need or a spiritual need? Sometimes you'd almost have to say both. But as I did that and I looked at all the requests that have been made over, again, the last 3 weeks, the last 3 Wednesdays, the last 3 Sunday mornings, and the last 3 Sunday schools, I totaled them up. It might surprise you. Overall, 73% of the requests that were made were primarily physical needs. Physical needs. Only 27% involved spiritual needs. Now, I realize that's not counting Wednesday night when we do pray for the lost and those that are out of fellowship in our church by name when we do that. That's not counting that. But if you think about it, is that a good balance? Is that a good balance? I guess my challenge to you today really is to pray more for your physical needs, but also I really believe, I think I need a beat on something for that. What do you think? I really believe that we need to pray more for our spiritual needs as well. Today, as we look at, I believe it's part 5 of our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'll clarify in a little bit exactly what I'm talking about, spiritual needs. I think you probably have a pretty good idea what I'm talking about. But we'll clarify that and go into a little bit more detail about it. Today, the title of the message, the Lord's Prayer, part 5, praying for your spiritual needs. Praying for your spiritual needs. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, verse 9 to 13. It says, after this manner, therefore, this is the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, all right? And he brings up a model prayer. Now, a lot of people just, I don't know, they almost seem to make an over big deal on, well, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a disciples' prayer. I agree with you, okay? The Lord didn't pray this because it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and he never did it. He never was a sinner, right? So I agree with that, but it's the Lord's prayer that he gave to us is the way I look at it. So I really don't have a problem with calling it the Lord's prayer, but it's a model prayer. A model prayer. And really what we've been emphasizing more than anything else is, as we've looked at it phrase by phrase, is the attitude of our heart and what is involved in the Lord's Prayer and how should we approach God when we bring concerns to him. But here we are, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As I look at that, I want to make a general statement right now. It would seem to me, as I mentioned earlier, that as far as the physical part of this prayer, the physical needs, it would fall under phrase in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. But you know what? I found five different phrases that deal with spiritual needs. Think about that for a moment. You got 5-1, basically. Spiritual needs over physical needs prayed in the Lord's Prayer. That would be found in a couple, three of them we've already looked at. Thy kingdom come. Well, what are you saying? Lord, come now. I think that's a spiritual need, don't you? The second one, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We're asking for God's will to happen in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our world. That's a spiritual need. And it says, and forgive us our debts. Isn't that one of our biggest spiritual needs right there, to be forgiven? But today we're going to look at two more spiritual requests. Would y'all smile at me? Y'all really, this is almost a record. Y'all just really tired. We're going to do exercises. How many of you like jumping jacks? How many of you are really good at jumping jacks? How many really want to give it a shot today? And if we do them, I'm not going to lead them. I'm going to ask AJ to come up and lead us in jumping jacks, push-ups, and all that stuff. Push-ups was my thing. Growing up, push-ups was my thing. Can I brag for a moment just to wake you up? In 4-H, you had these challenges. How many of you have been a part of 4-H? Do y'all remember at camp you had challenges? You know, I was a Cherokee. Any Cherokees in our midst? Oh, now, come on. She was a Seneca. Do we have any other tribes represented here? Tim? Delaware? Bill? Mingo. Hey, we got all the tribes. But in council circle at night, one tribe would challenge the other tribes to something. There would be challenges in there every once in a while. And our tribe, the Cherokee, we challenged them to do as many clap-in-between push-ups as I did. I think I did 50 clap in between push-ups. Now, probably for AJ, that's nothing, but for a lot of people, that's quite a bit. So, are you impressed? You don't seem to be impressed by that. How many could I do now? Well, let's just not talk about that. But today we're talking about praying for our spiritual needs. In this prayer, this model prayer that we're looking at, it would appear to me that there's five times more requests about our spiritual needs and our physical needs. And we're going to look at those two phrases. Those two phrases in particular that we're going to look at is found in verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Title of the message, Praying for Your Spiritual Needs. Point number one, we're in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. Now, if I said, hey, the enemy's coming, watch out, you probably would not be in your Christian life lackadaisical, would you? I mean, if something was happened that was imminently dangerous, you'd probably be awake, alert, and enthusiastic and on guard. But a lot of Christians aren't like that. I mean, really, today, you think about the Christians that you know? How many of them are like ready for battle? But see, you and I, every single day, we're in a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us, we're going to look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. It'll be there on the monitor in just a moment, but Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to turn to it so I can look at it in particular and read it to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice this, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Here it is. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The phrase in particular, verse 13, it says, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You know, you and I are in a spiritual battle every single day. It says there in that phrase, "Lead us not into" what? "Temptation, but deliver us from" what? "From evil." You see, we are involved in a spiritual battle. And I do not believe that we pray enough. I do not believe that we as Christians pray enough for our spiritual needs. Because after all, we are in a spiritual battle. You say, "Preacher, what exactly are you talking about praying for our spiritual needs?" You know, we need to pray for our spiritual needs individually and as a family and as a church, as a community, as a nation, and as a world. Let me give you some for instances, okay? Some things that we can pray for. Now again, I'll say it. I told you I'd say it about 10 times. There's nothing wrong with praying that your puppy dog gets better. Okay? Because if the Lord is concerned enough about you and loves you that much, if it concerns you, it concerns God. So there's nothing wrong with saying, "Lord, help my puppy dog get better." Okay? Y'all with me on that? Some of you don't think must think that's sinful because you didn't say amen to that. But there's nothing wrong with that. Or there's nothing wrong with praying, "Lord, I've lost my keys again. I sure need those keys." How many of you prayed that this week? How many of you prayed this week? Oh, Bobby does it about every week, right? More or less. But pray. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a physical need. There's nothing wrong with praying, "Lord, I got a friend and they're sick, and we had a lot of that today. You know, this one's in the hospital. We got this one that's got the flu. This one's got flu B, flu A. That one's got COVID. That one has RSV, that one has strep throat. I mean, there's so many things going around." There's nothing wrong with praying for those things. But you know what? We're in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And we need to pray for our spiritual needs as well. Let me give you some for instances. When you pray for yourself, do you pray that you will be faithful to God? Do you pray that you'll do those five to thrive? You know what those five to thrive are? Reading the Bible, praying, going to church, tithing, and telling others about the Lord. If you do those five things and do it from a sincere heart, faithfully to the Lord, God will bless you. But do you pray that God will help you to do those five things to thrive? Do you pray that, "God, would you keep me faithful to you and faithful to my family and faithful to do what I know to do is right"? Those are spiritual needs. You think those things are important? You can pray for boldness as a Christian in this world. Have you prayed for maturity? "Lord, help me to grow and mature in my walk with you." Have you prayed that God would help you to be the role that he has given to you in your family, to be the best husband or wife or child or whatever that we can be for the Lord? Have you prayed that God would help you to fulfill those roles? Have you prayed even in your own life that Satan's hands would be bound in your life? We can pray those things individually. There's a smattering of things that we can pray for. But even for our family, So many times we really kind of goes off our radar to pray for our family in these spiritual areas. Again, praying for our family that they will be faithful, that they'll see the priority of doing these five things to thrive, that they'll be bold in their faith, that they'll mature in their walk with the Lord, that they'll fulfill their role in the family, that Satan's hands would be bound in their life, that they would put God first in their life, those members of my family. Included in that too is, Lord, that they would follow your perfect plan for their life. You see, I think it's important. I think we overlook these spiritual needs that we have. And we are so preoccupied sometimes with the things right here that we forget that there's spiritual needs that we should be praying for as individuals and for our family. Now what about our church? What about our church? Does our church have spiritual needs? Absolutely. You know what? We could pray things like this for our church. You know, the purpose of the church. I like the WIFE, wife, because we're the bride of Christ. What's the role of the church? To worship? Have you prayed for our worship services here at Oak Mound? That the Lord would be honored and glorified and pleased with our worship? The I is instruction, that we stick to the Word of God as our instruction book, that the Word will be preached and taught as it ought to be. F is fellowship, that we'll have sweet fellowship together and enjoy our time together. And the E is evangelism, that we'll reach the world. Have you prayed specifically lately for these things for Oak Mound? Have you prayed that Satan's hands would be bound to distract us? Have you prayed for things like our John 3:16, Friends and Family Sunday? See, those are spiritual needs. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So really, it's great to pray for our physical needs, but let's pray for our spiritual needs too. What about the ministries of our church? The ministries of our church. Women's and Men's Fellowship, the choir, our Sunday school ministry. Let me tell you, and it goes on. There's a lot of ministries of our church. We got the fireworks ministry and our parade ministry, and we got our vacation Bible school, and I'm going to miss a bunch of them, our Easter egg hunt, things like that. Those aren't just frivolous little, those are important things. We're trying to impact souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're trying to encourage people in their walk with God to be all that God wants them to be. These aren't frivolous things. These are eternal things. Don't you think we should be praying for things like this? And I've noticed in our Sunday school, man, some people are getting lazy in their Sunday school attendance. I mean, our Sunday school, really, our numbers are way down. Our worship, we're doing all right. I mean, I know we've been down a little bit because of sickness, but I'm just telling you what you already know. Sunday morning, we've been seeing some visitors. We've been growing a little bit on Sunday morning, but our Sunday school is not doing real good right now. I mean, if you told some of these people in these third world countries or these countries that aren't considered Christian nations, you know, if you told some of those people, we're going to be getting together, we're going to look at the Bible, and you get an opportunity to ask questions about the Bible, those people would walk for miles probably to come and to hear someone preach or teach the gospel in Sunday school. But we got people like, I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, it's like some of us would say, you know what, I would never be late for work. No way. I mean, how many of you have to be in by 9:30 to work? Most of you have to be in earlier than that, right? Hello? For you, those that used to work, you normally had to be in earlier than that, right? But now, why is it Sunday morning? That's too early. That's too early. But you'll be at work 6:30 to impress the boss, or 7:30 to impress the boss. But you don't want to impress God by being faithful to Sunday school? Thank you, Bobby. But it's important, and it's my responsibility to share that with you. Everybody here needs to be in Sunday school. Now, You say, well, I'm divinely hindered. Okay, fine. That's good. That's fine. God knows all about it. But if you're not at Sunday school because you don't want to be at Sunday school, or you think it's too early to come to Sunday school, or whatever, you're missing a blessing. And I'll be real blunt about it. You're sinning, okay? We have the opportunity to be under God's word in Sunday school. And if you're not coming to Sunday school, some of you should know better. Some of you have been Christians for years and years and years and years and years, and you're choosing to miss church. Now, I'm one of those dinosaurs, okay? You can call me a dinosaur. You can call me old-fashioned. You can call me outdated. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I'd rather call me biblical. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. The Lord's coming back. And we got Christians that are too lazy to come to Sunday school. Christians that are too lazy to come back out on Sunday night. Christians who are too lazy to come on Wednesday night, prayer meeting and Bible study. Now come on, let's wake up. But we ought to be praying that we'll be faithful, that we'll see the need. Again, if you're not physically able, fine. If you are divinely hindered, fine. If you work at certain opportunities and your schedule's here and there and everywhere and you're not sure and you can't come to all the services, fine. But if it's an attitude problem, that's not fine. You see, praying for our spiritual needs, we need to pray that we're faithful. We need to pray for our family to be faithful. We need to pray for the ministries of this church. Now, some people are so laid back. John, is it really encouraging when you have a Sunday school class of two or three people? That's not too encouraging, is it? Same with Bill. It's not encouraging if it's really down and you only have a few. Now, you'll continue to teach as you did and give it all you got, but it's not that encouraging. Folks, we call ourselves Christians. We need to be faithful. We need to pray for our spiritual needs. We need to pray for the ministries of the church. Even our community spiritual needs. We could pray that God sparks a revival in this community. You say, oh, it's too far gone. There's too many druggies. There's too many problems. There's too many. That's what it maybe used to be. I don't look at it that way. Yes, things are tougher today than back in the 70s and 80s when everybody seemed to be going to church and like everything. You know, a lot of new ministries were started. But guess what? God is still God. And God can still work. And God can still spark revival in this community. Have you prayed that God would spark revival here in this community? Have you prayed that God would spark revival in the apartments down here? Is God able to do that? I think he is. Either say amen or oh me or something. You know, it's important that we pray for spiritual needs. Our own, our families, our churches, our community. What about our nation? Now, most of us are pretty happy with a lot of the changes that are happened in Washington and a lot of the things that have been put forth, generally speaking, right? But that's not revival. That's not revival. Revival means even after 4 years of a president, we still serve God. We need to turn around as a country. Our country is so whacked out. But have you prayed for revival and our country changing direction? You see, the spiritual needs, we have bunches of them. We need to be praying for those spiritual needs. You see, we are in a spiritual battle. So we ought to be praying spiritual needs prayers. How many of you have ever seen the movie Angels in the Outfield? How many have ever heard of the movie Angels in the Outfield? There's a 1951 version I found out, and there's a 1994 version. I've seen at least a little bit of both. Maybe, I don't know if I've seen it through or not. But the whole idea, a young person, a child, prayed to God that their team would improve. And it was for good reasons. It wasn't just, I want us to have a better record. And in the movie, the plot line of the movie, God sent angels down to help the teams. And in 1951, it's interesting, it was the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's my team. But then in the 94 version, it was the California Angels. But what was happening, God was using his angels that only the kid that prayed about it really saw. No one else saw the angels, but the kid that prayed saw the angels. And you say, why do you bring that up? I say we're in a spiritual battle. We don't see what's going on around us. But you know there's angels that are here helping us? Keeping us from that car wreck? Keeping us from harm and danger? But there's demons that want to get us. Sometimes if our eyes were open, we'd say, whoa. Look at that. You see, we're in a spiritual battle. Don't you think we need to be praying spiritual prayers? Not just the give me, give me, give me, and not just the physical things, which are good. But we need to be praying spiritual prayers. Point number one, we looked at. We are in a spiritual battle. Point number two, temptation is real. Temptation is real. Notice what it says, and lead us not into temptation. I want to say right off the top, God does not cause temptation, but he simply allows us to be tempted. Allows us to be tempted. Wasn't Jesus tempted in the desert 40 days and 40 nights? You see, he allows us to be tempted. But how are we going to get through the temptation without sinning against God? In this prayer, this model prayer, Jesus says, pray that the Lord will help us through temptation, that he'll deliver us through temptation. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. I want to emphasize again that God does not cause temptation. He is not the source of temptation. But guess what? This old world will tempt us, right? Guess what? We have our sin nature called the flesh that will tempt us to do things that may make the flesh feel good for a little bit, but goes against God. And then we got the old enemy, the devil, who wants us to completely mess our life up. James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. Notice what these. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Notice this. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, what? Of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, when we pray, and lead us not into temptation, we are praying a spiritual prayer that God will keep me from situation. God will keep me from those areas where I will be tempted because of the world, my own flesh, and the devil to go against God. I mean, isn't that a good spiritual prayer? A good spiritual prayer. I've lost the amens somewhere. The prayer is to keep us out of temptation's way. Guess what? We're all sinners. We still have the sin nature. And we still have the world, the flesh, and the devil. They all want us to sin. But you know what? When we realize that temptation is real, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Temptation is real. To do wrong is always there with us. But isn't it a good idea to pray to God? God, keep me. Lead me not into temptation's way. Help me not to be in a situation that tempts me to the point that I give in. Just keep me, Lord. Look after me. A good spiritual prayer to pray. Y'all agree with that? Y'all still got a smile in there anywhere? Eh, some of you don't. You lost it. You had one a little bit ago, but you lost. But I'm thankful that I can pray spiritual prayers. This illustration hopefully will help. A young man who struggled with his weight, I can understand that, loved donuts, especially donuts from this one special donut shop. I think of the donut stop over in Buchanan when I read this. He had done very good at avoiding donuts and had lost some weight, but then one day he came to work with 2 dozen donuts. 2 dozen donuts. Man after my own heart. His astounded co-workers asked him what had happened. He said, well, when I woke up this morning, I had a craving for a donut. So I prayed to God that if he wanted me to get a donut today, that as I drove by the donut spot that I like so well, that there'd be a parking spot right smack dab in front of the donut shop. I prayed that if he wanted me to get front. He also continued and said, on my 10th trip around the block, that spot was open. There are lots of temptations around us. Y'all agree with that? And there's a whole lot worse than donut temptation. There's a whole lot of evil in this world. And the world's not getting any better. We need to pray a spiritual prayer, something like this, and lead us not into temptation. Praying for your spiritual needs. Number one, we are in a spiritual battle. Number two, temptation is real. Number three, are you ready? Are you ready? The devil is real. The devil is real. You look at this phrase, this last phrase we're going to look at. This is the last point. Do I hear an amen for that? Amen. Oh boy, something's wrong when you get more amens for I'm almost done. Whatever. Number three, the devil is real. It says, but deliver us from evil. Deliver. The idea of deliver is to rescue. And I'm thankful that God has delivered and rescued us from death, hell, and the grave. Aren't you thankful? Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Listen to what it says. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What? It's talking about God. We're saved. We're rescued from death and hell and the grave. I'll never be in hell. Praise God. I'll really never die. Praise God. I just transfer residence because my soul and spirit lives on forever, and I'll get a brand new body, and it'll be better than AJ's. Ha! So there. Right, AJ? Well, he may get one just as good, okay? But it's an eternal body. And I'm thankful. Why is that? It's because God delivered us and rescued us from our sin. But what does this one say? It says, but deliver us from evil. You know, I found this interesting. When you look at the Greek, here we go, in the Greek, Jason, pray for Jason's Greek. When he's doing pretty good. He's got a B in the class right now. So just keep praying. But when you look at the original language, the New Testament was written in the language of Greek. And on my computer software, I've also got a Greek Bible, but I've also got it on my computer, and I can look it up. In the original Greek, there's an article before evil. There's an article, the article the. So a lot of people think that whenever it says, and deliver us from evil, it's actually deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil, which would be Satan in particular. Now, I don't lose a whole lot of sleep over either one because there's plenty of evil in the world and there is a devil. Now, there is places, I'm not going to turn there, but 1 John 2:13, 1 John 3:12, and 1 John 5:18, the exact same construction with the exact same word evil, and it has an article, and they translated it wicked one, like the devil. So can I tell you that the devil is real? Can I tell you that the devil wants to see you fail? You see, the devil is real. You say, well, how bad or how evil is the devil? Well, I just want to share with you a few verses on how evil and how bad it is. Now, the Lord in this model prayer says, you know what? You need to pray this spiritual prayer, this spiritual need, but deliver us from evil, whether that's evil in general or from the evil one. But the devil, Satan, is real. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. How evil is the devil? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what that wiles of the devil? It means wily. Y'all remember Wile E. Coyote? And the Roadrunner? Now really, he's not really that wily. The coyote's not. But can I tell you, the devil really is. He's slick. He's tricky. He's a schemer. You know, he comes to us and he whispers in our ear and he says, you know what? You'd really, really want to do this, don't you? And then the world says, amen to that. You do. And the old flesh says, yeah, as a matter of fact, now that you mention it, I think I do. And they work together almost as the unholy trinity saying, you want to do this. You want to yield to this. But you know what? We got to be smarter than that. We got to be smarter than that. We got to recognize that the devil is a schemer and he wants us to fail. He wants you to fail in your service to God. Give up, quit. He wants to see your marriage split up. He wants to see an alienation between you and your kids. I mean, he wants this church to go under. That's the kind of schemer that he is. And we got to keep in mind, that's my enemy. That's the one who is opposed to me. That's why the Lord says we should pray, but deliver us from evil. John chapter 8, verse 44. Listen to how this describes the devil. John chapter 8, verse 44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Notice this. He, that is the devil, Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. So, you say, how evil really is Satan? Well, he's a murderer. He's a murderer. He wants to see us die forever as human beings in a place called hell that's been prepared for the devil and his demons. But the devil wants to get people not to accept the Lord as Savior and wants them to spend eternity. He's a murderer. And it says he's a liar. You know, he'll tell you so many things about sin whenever he even tempts a Christian to sin. Oh, everybody's doing it. The devil might say, well, it's okay. There'll be very little consequences. He might whisper in her ear, nobody will ever know. You see, the devil's a liar. So when you start hearing, if you will, it's not an audible voice, but sometimes it's almost like something's whispered in your ear and encouraging you to do it, pushing you to do it just a little bit. Very well could be the devil because he's evil and he wants our lives to be ruined. Last verse we're going to look at under how evil is the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. Now you're somewhat familiar with this passage, but it says, be sober or alert, be vigilant, be on your guard, because your adversary. You know, adversary means enemy. And can I tell you, the devil is our enemy? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's basically saying the devil is after you. He is. And when you try to do something good for God and you try to minister for God, he'll do all he can to stop you. You know, next week I'm expecting a good week in our service to the Lord. If nobody shows up, praise the Lord, it's going to be a good week. But if 200 show up, praise the Lord, it's going to be a good week. I'm expecting good things, but the devil hates that. The devil will do all he can to even keep you from coming next week. You'll wake up and you won't really be sick, but you'll just be feeling a little bit kind of, I don't know. Don't let the devil keep you from coming next Sunday unless you're really sick. You might have a flat tire on your car. Any number of things. Someone may drop into your house unexpectedly, like, oh, I'm going to go. You see, the devil as a roaring lion, and it gets kind of graphic if you think about it, as a roaring lion, he wants to destroy you. Once you trust Jesus and you've changed teams from his team to God's team, he's like, man, he's our enemy, and he wants to destroy us. Now, I've never seen anyone mutilated by a lion with these two eyes, but I imagine it's pretty gruesome. I'm not even sure I've ever even seen that in a movie, but I'm sure it's pretty gruesome. And what the devil wants to do to you is pretty gruesome. You see, it's important that we pray these spiritual prayers, such as, Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. Keep me from the effects and listening to the old devil, because he's a liar and he's a murderer. He's our enemy. Now let me emphasize how important it is that the devil is real and that we need to pray that we're delivered from the power of the devil. You know, even Jesus prayed for us spiritually and for our protection from evil. Now, they call this the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Listen to what it says in John chapter 17 and verse 15. John chapter 17 and verse 15. As Jesus is praying to his Father, just before he dies on the cross, listen to what he prayed. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That's talking about Christians. You know, we have a mission. I mean, yeah, we could go home right now. He could have taken us home right the instant we got saved, right? He could have. But he says, I got a plan for you. So Jesus said, I'm not praying that they go home. This is what I am praying. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, in this verse, it's the exact same construction. You got an article, you got evil. Could it be the devil he's speaking of? Could be. There's plenty of evil in general, but I'm thankful that Jesus even prayed a spiritual prayer for you and I. You see, the devil is real. Some people want to put Satan, the devil that is, into the same category as Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy. But can I tell you, the devil is real. The old preacher had finally heard enough of this talk about whether the devil was real. He says, well, if the devil's not real, who in the world's on my back all the time? You see, the devil is real. Today we've been talking about praying for your spiritual needs. Number one, we're in a spiritual battle. Number two, temptation is real. And number three, the devil is real. The Bible says in this model prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you're here today and you know the Lord is your Savior, I want you to look up here. It's great, it's wonderful to pray for our physical needs. I would not even say that we need to pray less for our physical needs. I'd say we need to pray more for our physical needs. That's a good thing. But I have a question. How much time, how much effort do you put in to praying for your spiritual needs? How much time do you spend praying for your spiritual needs? Again, if I'm looking at the Lord's Prayer in the right way, if I'm understanding it correctly, there's five different phrases dealing with spiritual needs and only one dealing with physical needs. Now, I'll say again, there's nothing wrong with praying for physical needs. We need to do that more. But we need to add another element sometimes to our prayer life and be more focused on it, praying for ourselves spiritually, that we'll be what God wants us to be, that we'll mature, that we'll do the five to thrive. We need to pray for our families, that they'll be all that God wants them to be. Now, some of you are in situations, you know, your grandkids live here, your great-grandkids live way See, your opportunities are limited, but you have a great power source. You know what that power source is? That's the power source of prayer. And you can pray for them spiritually. That if they don't know the Lord as Savior, that they'll be saved. If they do know the Lord as Savior, that they'll take Him serious and put Him number one in their hearts and lives. That they'll mature in the Lord. That they'll be all that God wants them to be. And for our church, you know, we announce it. We talk about it. We have slides up here. We put it on Facebook. But you know, it's all for naught. If we don't pray for the activities and the ministries of our church, are we praying spiritually for our church the way that we should? That we will see souls saved. That our ministries will be directed by God. That we'll be faithful to the Word. That we may be a light in this community. Praying for our community's spiritual needs, our nation's spiritual needs, and even our world's spiritual needs. That God would bring people and missionaries around the world to reach people with the gospel. You see, I really believe that we need to pray more for our spiritual needs than we are right now. We need to take that seriously from God today. What a powerful tool prayer is. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've never been saved, can I tell you quite succinctly and frankly that you have a spiritual need right now? Your spiritual need is to be saved, to put your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. You see, you're an old rotten sinner, but you can go to heaven because Jesus paid your sin debt on the cross when He died and then resurrected back to life. So if you're here today and you're lost, I'd encourage you. I'll be somewhere down around front. You come down and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior." But what about you, Christian? We're going to sing today. We have a pianist up here. We're singing today. We're going to sing a little bit, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." If God has spoken to your heart today about your need to pray more for your spiritual needs, would you come up to the altar and maybe bring some of those spiritual need prayers right here to the altar? And if you need to be reminded, maybe you'd come to the altar and say, "God, help me to remember these things more. Help me to pray for the spiritual at least as much as I pray for the physical. Because these things are eternal." Would you do that today if God is speaking to your heart? And don't you wait for anybody else to step out. If God is speaking to your heart, I tell the boys all the time, be a leader. Be a leader. You know, don't wait for other people to step out. If God is speaking to your heart today, on the very first word of the very first verse of the song, step out, come to the altar, and talk to God about your spiritual needs. Would you do that? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer found in Scripture. We pray that today You will indeed help us to take more seriously the challenge to pray for our spiritual needs as found in this Lord's Prayer. Speak to hearts, Lord, and if You are speaking to hearts, I pray that You'll move them to quickly come to the altar and talk to You about it. And Lord, help us again to pray more for our spiritual needs. If there's one who's lost, give them the boldness to step out, excuse me, and be saved today. We pray in Jesus' name.